The young lady that I'm going to introduce now is a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I told you Dr. Robinson's name, but I'm not going to tell you her last name. If she wants to divulge that, that is entirely her privilege. That's one thing we ought to remember in AA, that the privilege of a name is something that I retain. And that I have no right to divulge the names of other people that are members of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've never met her before. She comes from Denver, Colorado, well recommended, has spoken to a great many groups all around the country. And now, lest I take time from her, I'm not going to say any more. I'm going to ask Brona to speak.
Well, my name is Brona McCambridge, and I am an alcoholic. And when we're in Rome, we do what the Romans do. I was saying tonight at dinner time that I think I've thought more about my dry date since I've been down here than I have in a long time, because everybody says I've been dry so many years, so many months, and so many days, and so many hours, and I hadn't figured mine out for a while. I was a time when I certainly did. But if it is a custom, if we try to do an AA, we respect the customs of the locality in which we are visiting. By the grace of God, and with the help of AA, I haven't had a drink since December the 14th, 1947. And I couldn't help but think tonight as I sat here, what in the world has happened to me that I should be up on a platform with a couple of preachers? I mean, miracles certainly happen in AA. Because it doesn't seem too long ago that I not only would have, well, I wouldn't have been asked in the first place. And had I been asked, I would have said, who, me? Just as I did when people suggested AA to me. Who, me? Not with that bunch of drunks. Not with that bunch of preachers. But God has been very good to me, and particularly so, I think, this last year, because I've had an opportunity to have AA as my avocation, and I have been working for the Colorado Commission on Alcoholism. And if you will bear with me for just a few minutes, I would like to just take a few minutes to tell you a little bit of what we are trying to do in that field at a state level and why we do feel that it is important to have programs of education on alcoholism. We know today that there are 4 million alcoholics or problem drinkers in this country. AA has done a tremendous job, certainly. But even by stretching the point a little bit, and just to make round figures, let's say that we have 150,000 members of Alcoholics Anonymous. It still leaves a great, great many of fellow sufferers that are still groping in the dark, standing alone in their lonely nakedness, wondering where and what and how to turn. And it is those people that we try to reach through programs of education. And I, as most of us in AA, I think, begin to think that everyone knows about AA, and everyone knows what it is, and that if anyone in a family has a problem, they will be sent to AA. But even though I've only been working on this program of education for a year, it's a constant source of amazement to me in each town to see how many, many people attend these meetings that still have an idea that AA comes in a bottle, or it comes in pills, Or they can send and get a package of it to be put in coffee or something of that kind. I was sort of amused tonight when I came in the schoolhouse because I have nothing against school teachers, and I've been told I look like one, but I have been haunting these schoolhouses lately, talking with PTA groups. Last Tuesday night, I was in Granada, and it was sort of funny. The kids with their maypole and I got all tangled up. I had the projector and the wires, and the kids had their maypole, and there were about 150 people there. And we finally got around to our program on alcoholism. And I thought, this isn't much good. This isn't any way to have a meeting, an educational meeting. If they're going to have a kids program, I'm getting old and cranky, you know. And I thought, if they're going to have a kids program, and then let them have a kids program, and I'll hold this some other time. And I was sort of, you know, on one of those off-the-beam moods by the time it came around. But after that meeting, there were three. Only three, but there were three people. One of them an alcoholic himself, and two other people that had problems in their family that didn't know a thing about Alcoholics Anonymous and didn't know where to turn or what to do. Or one of them had their son in Pueblo, and the other one was in Monterey in Denver. And I went home that night thinking to myself, if nothing else was gained but the three people out of that audience learned to know a little bit about the disease of alcoholism, they went home with some literature. Those of us who are victims of alcoholism know that until we want it, no one can force it onto us, no one can talk us into it. But I firmly believe that anyone who is a true alcoholic, the time will come, if it hasn't already come, but they just won't admit it, when they want to do something about their drinking. But just as in my case, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what an alcoholic was. I had never been hospitalized. I would probably not be here tonight if it hadn't been for my mother, and it's always amazing to me how each alcoholic seems to have, those of us who are still living, that is, someone who loves us, someone who stands by, someone who takes care of us. That is why I have so much respect for the women in AA, the auxiliary members and the associate members. I couldn't have taken it. I'm sure I didn't. I don't have the what it takes to do what many of them have done. But as I went home the other night, I thought, if only three people out of that group find a way. Because that was what happened to me. I was on one of these whiskey cures, you know. I was going to get dry, and I went to California. I hadn't been drinking traveling whiskey either. I just was going out there and not drink. And this member of AA said to me, do you like to drink the way you're drinking? And for the first time in my life, I admitted that I didn't. But I had been beating my brains out for 3 years and wouldn't even admit to my mother that I wanted to do something about it, and still I desperately did, but I was defeated. And it isn't surprising that an alcoholic becomes defiant or develops a defiant personality, because all the members in my family looked down on me. I knew just as well that when Christmas came or Easter or Thanksgiving or any time when what family I had would be gathering, this or go somewhere, because they never knew how I was going to be. And so, in little innuendos here, and honey, why don't you not drink, and all the rest of it, I resented it. I didn't like what I was doing. And then you go to a doctor, and the doctor says, if you do get sober, and most of us get sober sometime, well, I'll see you again soon. That in itself is enough to make you kind of sick. I eventually made the college, Monterey, in Denver. And there, too, when I left, they said, well, we'll see you again soon. And so the alcoholic finally becomes so discouraged and so hopeless and so withdrawn within himself that the only thing he has left is to fight back and to be defiant, and so he says, I don't want to quit drinking. Oh, that's my privilege. I'll drink as long as I want to. At least that's what I did, and that's the only person I know about. But when I heard and knew a little about AA, it was the first glimmer of hope. It was the first crowd of people with whom I felt comfortable. For years, I had been a square peg in a round hole. I didn't fit anywhere. In retrospect, I know that even as a child, I didn't fit. I was an only child. I was spoiled, yeah. But I just didn't fit anywhere. I had been told that I was very brilliant. I'd been told I was very pretty. And I believed all of it. So I had myself built way up here. And always I was striving to reach that goal. Always falling short of it. And when I learned that alcohol would drown that feeling of inadequacy, maybe that was for me. And I started drinking. AA took me and said, look, you don't have to do this up here. Get honest with yourself. Be objective. Look at yourself as you are. They taught me how to be honest. I didn't make this program or make a success out of a stay dry when I first went to AA. I had difficulty with it. But I was as honest as I was capable of being. I had lied to myself for so many years that even in trying to be honest with myself, I didn't know how to. But when I finally hit bottom, which was bottom for me, then I was able to let go, to surrender, and to take a good look at myself. I didn't like what I saw. I didn't like it a bit. But the people in AA had told me that no, what I had done was not all right. But they had told me that I would be forgiven for it and that I no longer had to be that way. So I got myself down along about here. I knew I wasn't pretty. I knew I had fat legs. I knew I wasn't good looking. I knew that I wasn't smart. But I was just about as smart as the average, you know. I wasn't any worse or any better, I don't think. Of course, there's a lot of people that doubt that. But at least I could live with that. I wanted to do all my life. I didn't do it the first 3 months I was sober, the first 6 months. But gradually, little by little, I began to do the things that I would have normally been doing if I hadn't been ill with alcoholism. It took me a long time to go to a football game without a jug because I just couldn't see going to a football game. But I do it now, and I'm surprising. I know who wins. I never used to know. I used to have to look in the... I used to have to get the paper the next day or turn on the newscast or something to find out who won the game. So to me, there's a definite need for education on alcoholism. And of course, I suppose because I found my recovery in AA, I am very much inclined to think that most alcoholics can. Even though we do know that there are alcoholics that need other things, and I think those of us in AA would be the last to say that AA has the answers to everything. I think there are people who come to AA, even get so far as to come to it, that have other deep-seated psychosis that needs other treatment. Their alcoholism is secondary. I think we need clinics. I think we need to educate a lot of our doctors so that they don't send we drunks home with a sack full of pills. They're still doing it. Because a lot of them don't understand that an alcoholic cannot use barbiturates. They have no more control over the self-administration of barbiturates than they have over liquor. There's a lot to be done in the field of education. And just as it has been done in every other field of health, it is done that way in tuberculosis. I can remember when a family with a tubercular in the family, my mother would say, I'd rather you didn't play over there. It wasn't the same stigma that's attached to alcoholism, but nevertheless, there was that fear because we didn't know that a tubercular could be arrested and that it was just as safe to be around an arrested tubercular as it would be to be around a person with rheumatism, let's say. But through education, there's been a great deal done in that field, and it's been done in other fields. And only through education are we ever going to be able to have the public as a whole accept alcoholism as it is, a disease, and treat it as a disease and not a disgrace. Because people today are doing just what they did in the Dark Ages. They are throwing alcoholics who are drunk and sick in jail. We've had 3 deaths in Denver since last January. Because they haven't had anyone to even check on the person. They put them in there, and if they happen to have delirium tremens and die before morning, it's unfortunate. We don't treat our sick people like that in this country. We're not that kind of people. And until enough people are aware of the fact that alcoholics, true alcoholics, really do not want to drink. There are problem drinkers, and there are hard drinkers, and there are drunkards. But the true alcoholic, and that is what we are talking about now, per se, no, they've passed the stage where there's fun in drinking. They try again and again, as I did, to reach that glow, that peak, that wonderful point of exaltation. Sure, I reached it, and I went over it so fast I didn't even know I was there, and then I was just drunk. And I think I tried every way in God's earth to drink. In fact, I got a sneaking hunch that when I went to AA, I still thought I might sometime. In fact, I know I did or wouldn't have gotten drunk. I tried them all. If there was any way I didn't try, it's just because I didn't think of it. Because I drank gallons of olive oil and ate butter and drank milk. And I did them all. But AA, to me, is a way of living. Sure, we have to be sober. Certainly, we have to be sober first. And that takes some doing, or it did for me. I think the mere fact that we're told in AA that we do it one day at a time, I think the first 6 months, that's all I had to hang on to. I just don't take a drink today. And that old saying, what is it, life by the inch is a cinch, but by the yard it's awfully hard. That business helped me a lot. Then as we grow a little bit in AA and the older members help us and we get interested enough to read a few things, a whole new field, a whole new life opens up. I was surprised that I could read things that had been around the house for 20 years. In Tune with the Infinite. That book had been in the house for I don't know how long. Mother said it was a wonderful book. I didn't know. I wouldn't read any of that kind of junk. Today, I don't have time enough to read all the things that I would like to read. We learn a new way of living that, to me at least, is very satisfactory. And it's all for free. But I do firmly believe this. I think that our happiness in AA comes when, as someone said, Lincoln said this afternoon, when he got down on his knees because he didn't have anywhere else to go. I think once we are licked, and it isn't something we can think ourselves into, it isn't something that we can read ourselves into, knowledge alone on the problem of alcoholism won't do it. It's an emotion. It's a feeling within ourselves of surrender. We know that we can no longer get back in the ring with old John Barleycorn. He has us licked. And we have no other place to turn but to God. And he will, if we will let him, keep us sober and keep our thinking straight. And more than just keeping us sober, he knows all of our needs. And he gives us much more, I feel sure, in my case, than I was ever entitled to. It's just an awful lot of fun to be down here in Texas, and I told the boys we were going to talk for 2.5 hours. But I'm not. I've wanted to come to Texas ever since the convention in Cleveland. I never saw a group of people have more fun than that bunch from Texas did at that Cleveland convention. They just, see, I was sorry I wasn't from Texas. Now, that's no fooling. Because there just wasn't anybody else there from Denver, and while I did know quite a few people from St. Louis and Chicago, it just wasn't like being with your own home folks, you know. So I'm just more than happy to be down here with you, and I do thank you for letting me yak. That's about all you can call it. I never have any notes because, in the first place, since I got these glasses, I can't read, and I never can read them and see them and stick with them anyway. So I just kind of rattle on, and as somebody said, you get yourself in here and you never get yourself out, so I don't think you're very sober. But anyhow, I haven't had a drink, and I'm very happy to be here, and I do thank all of you.
Well, Frona said that she never thought she'd get on stage with two preachers. Well, anybody that knows High and I thought never would have thought that we'd ever got on the stage together either. Because we are entirely different schools, and yet because of the fellowship that we've found in AA, we've learned to understand one another better and learn to love one another. That's something sometimes that we didn't learn in church. I know I didn't learn it there. I went a good many years. A lot of the things that we have, although AA is not religious, can be used in the average congregation. Especially the fellowship and the love that you have one for another. I should have told you this before, but I'm not supposed to be the master of ceremonies tonight. Handsome Bill was supposed to be here. He found it out, so he made arrangements to stay out of town, I think. And it wouldn't surprise me a bit to see that scoundrel walking that back door any minute. They told me just before the meeting started that wanted to know if I'd do it, and certainly I would. And I'm happy to.